Here we are, final day with you. And today I want to look at the battle for fellowship. We looked before at the battle for truth. Remember, I spoke about that a few weeks back. And then the battle for your soul, or what it means to be a child of God. So what does it mean to be a child of God? It means about living within a fellowship. John describes two different kinds of people. One is born of God, who does not remain in sin. That is, once you recognize the sin, you acknowledge it, repent of it, and ask God for forgiveness. Yeah? You know that, don't you? Nod your head if you agree. Yeah. Just like to get some points in there. The other is the sinful person who is continuously unrepentant and therefore a child of the devil. Both of these have already been introduced earlier in the epistle. We've talked about them in terms of that love for one another as abiding in the light. You might remember that about abiding in the light and those who in the darkness. John connected practicing righteousness to being born of him, born of Jesus, that is. So John expands upon this subject of love for one another from here on. He gives two main reasons we must love one another. The first is that it distinguishes the children of God. There's two manifest things between children of God and the devil. You know what that is, don't you? You're not sure. You've been up with it all. Is that where it is? Children of God practice, and they show love for one another. Love for one another. Now, the word love for one another, it's always a struggle. The word is agape. Agape, which is an all-giving love. Often people say brotherly love. Not a correct interpretation. It's an agape love, which is deeper than that. It's about a commitment to do the best. That's why you go into burning buildings. Because they care about this person. They're consciously going to do the best for the person. Whereas those who are don't practice righteousness for one another. Because sometimes people who are clearly children of the devil will do some good things like go out and fight fires or way back in the early centuries, first couple of centuries, there's a fellow by the name of stood up in Roman court. See how these Christians love one another. Now, he wasn't saying that as great commendation for Christians. He was saying, they're putting us to shame. We need to be doing that, speaking to people in a cult. Sometimes people will do things to keep us trapped into the worship of the day. We've got a great edifice across the road here. Everybody goes to the shopping centre, the great hall of towers. You know, you go across Europe. We've got it here. The great buildings of their day. They spoke of the awe and majesty of God. Massive buildings for themselves. Now we build them for shopping centres because we want consumption. Consumption and production. That's where the world is. You've got to be between the people of God and the people of the world, don't we? John uses the example of Cain slew Abel. did he do that? Able. They both took an offering. Cain's offering was the fruit of the ground, and Abel's offering was the fruit of the flock. Was it their offering? Did Cain was the first one to take an offering. Did he just take remnants or something? A bit of leftover to God? Don't know. Doesn't tell us. Was it his attitude in it? He saw his brother bring the first fruits, and was it his attitude? And whatever it is, we know that God reads the heart, don't we? He doesn't just look at what we do. We can't just do nice things. Be prepared. In. It's got to come from within, how we reach and touch people. The world hates Jesus. He said that. The world's hated me. It's going to hate you if you align yourself toward Jesus. So what does all of this lead to? It signifies, when we walk with Jesus, it signifies a passing from death to life. It's a mark of true conversion. That we must also practice righteousness. Now, when I think about practicing righteousness, I think about Galatians 5. It says in there, we test people by. We're not called to be judges, you know that, don't you? We're called to be fruit inspectors. Look at the fruit in their lives, the fruit of the Spirit should be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, thankfulness, self-control. And it says there's no law for those things. You can do them as much as you want. Love is of the Spirit, and it's a positive turn their heart to the Lord Jesus. Not the answer to it all, but it's a sign. Like so many things, a little litmus, you know, dip it in. Lack of love is a pretty ominous sign, isn't it? It points to one who abides in death, is what John tells us. They're not dead now, but they're dead within their spirit. They don't have freedom that we can live with. They're in darkness. Don't. In fact, John goes on to say, he's a murderer. And we get that in other parts of Scripture too, doesn't it? It's that actually condemn a brother or sister, it's like murdering them. So it's self-evident, isn't it? The kingdom. Now, when Christians do not love their brothers and sisters, it may be an indication that they love the concept, love the fellowship and miss the focus. They love the service and miss the Savior. They carry the name but not the commitment. Am I speaking to anybody today? Talking slow. Paul kind of raises. He said, "The world's still in you. You're like infants, milk and soft bread and things. No hard teeth for you." The writer of Hebrews. We should take care, brothers and sisters, that turns away from the living God. That is rejection, isn't it? We don't want to be there. The passing from death to life. So now continue. But what does it really mean? How do you get a grasp of that? How do you take hold of it? Well, let's have that, doesn't he? You're following along with it.
The sun keeps coming in and out. I'm not connected properly.
I am, but I'm just keep coming in and out. That's it. It's sort of, I'm breaking away from you slowly, see? The voice keeps going. I have no idea why it's doing that. I guess it's the batteries. No, the batteries are all fully charged, so I don't know. Anybody missing what I say? Do I need to come? Hey. Love for what you find. Jesus gave life for you. So if Jesus laid down his life, if he went to the cross for you, if you are so important to him that he went to the cross for you, he took it, you could die him, die to self and live to him. That's where we need to be, isn't it? It's not like it's a free ticket. We still have to die to self in that process, and that's the bit that we deal with, is it not? Dying self just keeps popping up all the time. Not that I mind, I haven't got too bad a self. I don't know about you. That was my wife laughing there. Haven't got too bad a self, but it does need refining. So Jesus agape is often described as act of goodwill. And certainly that's what Jesus did on cross. It was act of goodwill toward you, toward all of us. Because he did it for all. Once for all. I've explained that as scientific principle. Happens once, can happen again. It's happened in Jesus. He rose again. Happened again. Not. Yeah. It will. So meditating on this, 1 Thessalonians, ourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Jesus' example gives us this means to be officially serving. Therefore, we should be willing to lay down our life for one another. In cases that might even be putting yourself at risk. Or sister, sacrificing our own agenda, moving where we're called to serve when we don't feel like it. Often, aren't we? That love for one another, where we just fail in that part of caring. Looking at this example of Jesus, how can we claim to have love if we're not willing to help a brother and sister when we have the means? Yeah, it says, when you've got all those means, why would you not help? So we're encouraged to show true love. On, but always softens it with that technion, which is My little children, dear children, beloved, don't just love in words, but truly through deeds. See, it's not enough to sing the songs. It's not enough to sit in church and do things. We have to be prepared to do some of it. It's amazing when it happens. My wife's always cautioning me not to stop for people on the side of the road. I stopped one on the freeway. Everybody's just driving up, this couple. I mean, I couldn't tell. Just there, stopped, pulled over, had a look. And yeah, they had and all that stuff, tats and everything. And I said, "Can I help?" And they said, "We can ring and get someone. I can get my brother to come. Battery's flat and I can't do anything." So I got my phone and I said, "There, ring." And they rung. And as it rung up and just gave my phone back, he said, "Do you know, here for over an hour and I don't know. Cars have driven past us and one stopped." All it took was to let them make a phone call. No real off my nose, as they say. Another time I pulled, saw this car with the bonnet up down in the southwest. I pulled over. Guy had stopped for the night because he was dead tired. And gone to sleep. Cold overnight because it was. Gave him a jump start and away he went. Sometimes it's so simple, isn't it?
Yes.
To help a person. Simple. Somebody drops something, you pick it up and return it to them. And how thankful can they be?
We need.
I didn't see him. Sorry. Well, talk to me after about that. But yeah, we come. Sometimes people hang out at the church because it's a place they know they can get help, and sometimes they really need that. Need it or not. But we have to make those decisions and be wise and gracious in all that we do, do we not? So we need to show value for one. Only an indicator. Know about that. Not showing love. And if we know, God knows. And if God knows, what are we doing? We're separating ourselves from God. But if our hearts don't caring, then we're easily able to approach God, and God blesses us in so many ways. And one of the things I try to encourage you to do, write down the blessing. You've heard about the Ebenezer, when they came to the River Jordan, each of the 12 tribes picked up a rock. Them up and they said, "This will be the marker. This is our Ebenezer. Thus far has the Lord brought us." And what we need to do is mark those points when God has touched our life so that we can look across, have those touch points that help reaffirm when we need that strengthening. Do you need those kind of reaffirmations in your life to remember those good times? Say yes, because we do. Good. What have we got? We've got a confidence in Christ. We abide in Him. He's in us. He answers our prayers. He listens to us because as we then we know God is more able to listen to us. There's some are in rebellion with God. He's less, it seems to me, less able to touch our lives, to bring blessing to it. He can't, but There's something in there that we did fellowship. Put a couple of pictures up. I'm going to look at the first one here. And this is a tool. A tool for you. This is, instead of asking a whole heap of questions of you this week, I'm giving you a tool. So you notice I've got two people. And what I've said is, in their mind, what's in their head is private. You can't read what's in my head. You can't tell me what I've said. So if you look, I've got IA. Can you see that on the left-hand side there? There are feelings, attitudes, thoughts, intentions. We have, so see the feelings, attitudes, thoughts, intentions. Now, when two people speak, there's only 7% of those are words. When I speak and preach to you, only 7% of what you hear is words. The rest of it is my intonation, inflection, language, the whole process of delivery is what speaks to you. So 93% is nonverbal, and that's those elements there. So you get that. Feeling, intentions, attitudes, thoughts. So the other side, what have they got? Thank you, Ken. They have their own feelings. Now, sometimes their feelings don't match your feelings. You're feeling happy about something, but they've just found out they were shortchanged at the bank. Or something. Attitudes can be quite different. You hear something one way, someone hears it another way. Our thoughts, our thinking, we are all processing things differently. But the person receiving has no idea what the intentions are. They can only make an inference about it. When you speak to a brother or sister in the fellowship here, you can only make inferences about what they say. So when they're saying to you, and I have to tell you, I've done this before, someone has said something that has been quite critical. And I've said, do you mean this? Are you giving me a critical appraisal or what's happening here? I'm not sure I understand. And it's turned out that I misheard it altogether. My inference was totally incorrect. Because they, sometimes it still sounded like they were, but they didn't mean it. And they realized that they'd conveyed a different message. And they wanted to back away from that. So the gift for you today is to remember, watch your inferences. Check them out with one another. Do not assume that you know what another person is thinking, saying, or don't assume, check out. Are you aware that you just cut that person off the other day? Did you notice that? Or you may not have noticed, but it might have offended them. Should we check that? You know, how do we build the fellowship? Do it by taking time for one another. To finish. So do you think you can remember some of that?
Yes.
Good. The big thing is just remember to check what you hear. The Lord be with you.